نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد، الله سبحانه وتعالى has sent us into this world to prepare for the life hereafter. And preparation for the life hereafter is to carry out the do's of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and abstain from the don'ts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those people who carry out faraid, those people who carry out wajibat, those people who abstain from haram, those people who abstain from makruhati tahrimiya, and thereafter they also abstain from makruhati tanzihiya, they carry out the sunan, the mustahabbat and the nawafil. They are in actual fact preparing for the life hereafter. And from amongst the tools that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us to support us in our endeavor to prepare for the life hereafter is remembering death. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, Al-Qayyisu man dana nafsahu wa amila lima ba'da al-maut. The clever one is he who subjugates his base desires, who is able to control his unlawful desires. And as a result, who is able to prepare for the life hereafter. So in order to prepare for the life hereafter, one necessary item is to control the nafs. Control the nafs. Subjugate the nafs. Overpower the nafs. And a person is able to overpower the nafs, a person is able to control the nafs, a person is able to control unlawful desires, stay away from unlawful desires by remembering death frequently. So this is a great tool that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam says, أَكْثِرُوا ذِكْرَ هَذِمِ اللَّذَّاتِ. Frequently remember the destroyer of pleasures, destroyer of unlawful pleasures, destroyer of base desires, al-maut, and this destroyer of unlawful pleasures is remembering death. Death. Remember frequently death because it destroys unlawful desires. As a result of remembering death, one day I will die, and it could be sooner rather than later. I could die this very minute, I could die in the next minute, I could die in the next hour. And it's not something that we have to force ourselves to believe. In the life that we have already spent, we have heard of many incidents where people have passed away in young ages. We have heard of many incidents where many people have passed away in ages younger than ours. So it's not something that we have to force ourselves to believe. It's not something that belongs to the unseen. That because people are saying, or the Quran says, or the Hadith says, so I am somehow compelling myself to believe. No, we have proofs. Many proofs. So death can come any minute. It does not discriminate between young and old. It does not discriminate between sick and healthy. So if there is a sick person in our home, then it's not necessary that the sick person will go first and then our turn will come. There are so many homes where the healthy ones left first and thereafter the sick. If this was the order, that the sick goes first and then the healthy one, then we could have relaxed for a few months or a few years. That there is a sick person in my home, and until he does not depart, my turn is not going to come. But it doesn't happen that way. Death does not discriminate between young and old. If there was an order that the elderly goes first and then the one after, but it doesn't work like that. We have seen so many young people pass away before the elderly. So many fathers have to bury their own children. So we need to remember death frequently. If we can remember death on a daily basis, alhamdulillah. And if we are unable to remember death on a daily basis, then at least 3 or 4 times per week. Let us fix days that Monday I will sit down for 5 minutes. Then Wednesday I will sit down for 5 minutes. And then Friday I will sit down for 5 minutes. 3 times. Or twice per week. Every Tuesday and every Friday. Every Monday and every Thursday. The least is once a week. We cannot go below that. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, remember death frequently. That means remember death a few times during the day as well. A few times in a day as well. But if not, then 4 times a week, 3 times a week, twice a week, and at least once a week. We must remember death once a week. And we must take out 10 to 15 minutes once a week to remember death. And how can we do that? In order to carry out any amal, any action, in order to carry out any prescribed practice, ma'amul, the first thing we need to do is to resolve that I want to do this. Thereafter, we have to allocate time for it. And thereafter, when that time comes, we must subjugate our nafs and we must force our nafs to carry out that amal only during that time. Many people come for consultation in regard to mamulat, and majority of them come with this question that I cannot carry out my mamulat, what shall I do? I cannot carry out my mamulat, what shall I do? I cannot recite the Quran on a daily basis. I cannot read the tasbihat daily. I cannot do my zikr daily. I cannot carry out mamulat daily. But we are able to have breakfast daily. We are able to have lunch daily. We are able to have tea daily. We are able to have supper daily. We are able to take shower according to our routine. Some people have a shower daily, some people every 2 days. We can take shower. And there are dozens of things that we do regularly on a weekly basis, on a daily basis. But when it comes to mamulat, we cannot carry out mamulat. So what can a sheikh do if a murid cannot carry out his or her mamulat? What can a sheikh do? Sheikh is a guide. And a guide tells you what you need to do to reach the destination. He cannot make you do the thing. He just guides you. This is what you need to do. This is what you need to do. He can make dua for you. He can make dua for you, but he cannot make you do the thing that you are supposed to do to reach the destination. The doctor will give you medicine to cure your illness. And he will guide you that this is what you are supposed to do. He cannot make you do those things. He will prescribe medicine for you, but he cannot come 3 times a day to make you take that medicine. The physio can teach you how to do the exercise. If you have a back problem, if you have problem in your knees. But he cannot come daily at your house and make you do the exercise. The sheikh is there to guide you. Raah pe chalna raah rav ka kaam hai. It is the responsibility of the traveler to tread the path. Sheikh is a traveler, you are also a traveler. Sheikh is treading his path and you need to tread your path. Sheikh is there to guide you. So many people come and they say that I can't do this, I can't do this, I can't do this. We can do it, but we are not doing it. We can do it, but we are not doing it. We leave mamulat hanging between the earth and the heaven. Everything else, it has stipulated time, allocated time. Mamulat as and when. So how is it possible for the mamulat, for prescribed practices or amal, actions and deeds to come into existence when we have not even stipulated time for it? So every salik, the one treading the path towards the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, towards the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, towards the nearness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the first thing he needs to do is to make a very good timetable, which will include his worldly activities and also his deeni activities. And he must stipulate and allocate time for every activity. Tilawat will take place at this time, tasbihat will take place at this time, zikra will take place at this time, Surah Yasin Sharif at this time, Muawwazat at this time, Hizbul Azam at this time, Istighfar at this time, Tilawat at this time, food at this time, supper at this time, breakfast at this time, lunch at this time, sleeping at this time, wake up at this time. So in order to carry out any amal, if a person decides to visit his relative in London because he is sick, if he keeps it hanging as and when, he will never be able to go. If a person is successful in visiting his relative who lives in London, then we all should know that the first thing he did was to resolve that I need to go to London. Thereafter, number two, he has allocated time that I will go this Saturday. Number three, I will leave after Zohar. We carry out so many things. And we become successful. Why? Because number one, we resolve that I must do this. I must recite the Quran daily, even if it is only one ruku. And after resolution, when will I recite the Quran? A person looks at all his activities during 24 hours and thereafter, he resolves that after Fajr, daily, I will recite one ruku. And after Fajr, he should not engage in any activity before completing the recitation of Quran. So the first thing we need to do is to resolve that inshallah, from now on I will remember death. Because it is inevitable. And those people who feel that I do not want to remember death because it will spoil my fun. I'm enjoying with friends, I'm enjoying life, I'm enjoying sleep, food, luxuries. And if I remember death excessively, then I will not be able to enjoy life the way I am enjoying, because the thought of death will come and prevent me from even enjoying lawful things. It may become a hindrance in the initial stages. But as a result of remembering death, once you start treading the straight path, then the fear will go away. Because you know that you are on the straight path. And when fear goes away, you will be able to enjoy lawful enjoyments just like any other ordinary human. You will be able to enjoy food, lawful food, because there is nothing you need to fear. Because now you are a clean Muslim, clean person, to a certain extent. So you will enjoy food, you will enjoy good clothes, you will enjoy life, inshallah. But now you will enjoy everything remaining within the lawful boundary. In the initial stages, if you start remembering death too much, then you may not enjoy even the lawful aspect, because you will fear that what if I die now? How will I show my face to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? But once as a result of remembering death you have repented sincerely and you are treading the straight path, then you will have nothing to fear. And when you have nothing to fear, you will enjoy life. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant you enjoyment in lawful things, and Allah will also grant you enjoyment in your dini activities. You will enjoy tilawat. You will find ecstasy in tilawat. You will find ecstasy in zikr. And the satisfaction that you will experience 24 hours that I'm doing something that Allah has commanded me to do. I'm striving. Allah must be happy with me. Alhamdulillah. That satisfaction. And those people who fear that if I remember death frequently, I will not be able to enjoy life, they should remind themselves that even if I continue not enjoying life until I die for the next 50 or 60 years, it doesn't matter. Because before I was enjoying food 100%, for example, and after remembering death frequently, now I am enjoying food 80%, only minus 20%. But if I don't remember death at all, then as soon as death strikes, it will be minus enjoyment. No enjoyment whatsoever. No enjoyment at the time of death, no enjoyment in the grave, no enjoyment on the day of Qiyamah, no enjoyment on Pul Sirat, and no enjoyment until entry into Jannah. And maybe as a result of evil doings, a person may be deprived of Iman, so no enjoyment forever. And if I remember death frequently, I will enjoy 80% of my life at least, if not 100%. And once death comes, I will enjoy death, the departure, I will enjoy the grave, I will enjoy the day of Qiyamah, I will enjoy the reckoning, I will enjoy Pul Sirat, and I will enjoy the bliss of the hereafter forever and ever. Salamun alaikum tibtum fadkhuluha khalidin. So let us not brush aside remembering death. Remembrance of death is a must for every believer, especially for a salik. So this is the first thing we need to do. Let us make a firm resolution that inshallah we will remember death frequently. But if not frequently, it's very easy to remember death frequently. If we sit down for 10, 15 minutes, 5 minutes to 15 minutes daily, if not daily, 4 times a week, if not 3 times a week, if not twice a week, if not once a week, once we sit down facing Qibla or lying down on a sofa in the darkness, or even during daylight, close your eyes and think about death, that death has arrived. Malakul Maut has arrived and Malakul Maut is extracting my soul. What if Malakul Maut was to come in the state that I am in? I am consuming alcohol, I am consuming drugs, fornicating, I am listening to those things which I should not be listening to, I am saying those things which I should not be saying, I am eating those things which I am not supposed to be eating, I am doing so many things that I am not supposed to be doing. What if death was to strike in this condition? How will Malakul Maut extract my ruh? My ruh will never want to leave this body. My ruh, my soul will never want to leave this worldly abode. Because my ruh will know what is awaiting in the hereafter. So this is when closing the eyes, imagine that the Malakul Maut has come and my soul is not prepared to depart. And because I am filthy, I am evil, Malakul Maut has come in a very, very angry mood. Malakul Maut is very angry. And his face is very scary. Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam, upon his request, when Malakul Maut came in the form, in that form in which he extracts the ruh, the soul of the disobedient servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam fainted, he became unconscious, he could not bear it. And when he regained his consciousness, he said to Malakul Maut that for a disobedient servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if there was no punishment in the hereafter except observing you with that face, that would have been sufficient. Ibrahim alayhi salam is saying this. So Malakul Maut has come in that very frightful, with that very frightful face, very frightful body, with anger, and it's extracting. وَلَوْ تَرَى إِذْ يَتَوَفَّى الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا الْمَلَائِكَةُ يَذْرِبُونَ وُجُوهَهُمْ وَأَدْبَارَهُمْ. They will be physical also, the malaika. When they extract the ruh of disobedient people, they become physical also. And they physically abuse the person. They hit the person on his face and on his back. Why particularly the face and the back? Because whenever something good was said to them, the first thing they would do is to turn their face away. And to show more anger, they would walk away from the person showing him their back. So they would turn their faces away and they would turn their backs. They would show their backs to the person who is speaking haq, towards haq. So if I live, if I continue to live my life like this, and if Malakul Maut was suddenly to come, what will happen to me? What will happen to me after it has extracted, he has extracted my ruh? It will be thrown in Sijjin. The jail of the hereafter. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the severity of the punishment there. And the ruh and the soul will remain in Sijjin until the day of Qiyamah. What will happen to me in that jail? Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded people to bury me, so they will bury my body. And once my body is buried, they will leave. Everybody will leave me alone in the darkness of the grave. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will connect my soul with my body. The soul will remain in Sijjin. And the body will remain in the grave, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will connect the soul with the body. And then the angels will come. And the angels will question me. What will I answer? What will I answer? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the disobedient servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he will be questioned, he will say, ha ha, hi hi, ha ha, la adri, I don't know. He will say, I don't know, la adri, I don't know. To all the three questions he will say, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know. Serpents and scorpions will be sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So think for a moment that if I live this life, then Malakul Maut will come in that condition. If I go in the grave, how will I live in that ditch with scorpions and serpents and snakes biting me all the time? That a door will be opened in the grave, a small window will be opened in the grave that will lead to Jahannam. And hot air and bad odor will come from there. Smell. And he will be able to hear all the noises of Jahannam. All the frightening noises of Jahannam. He will remain in that condition in the grave. What if that happens to me? On the day of Qiyamah, he will be resurrected. And he will face the questioning. How frightful that day will be. How frightful that day will be. How will I feel when I will realize that now soon I will have to stand in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and there will be no translator between me and Allah. I will have to face Allah directly, and Allah will ask me questions. Allah will say to me, what did you do in your life? How will I say to him that, oh Allah, I did this, I did this, I did this, I did this. What did you do in your youth? How will I say, oh Allah, I did this, I did this, I did this. Where did you earn your wealth from? How will I say to Allah that from haram sources? This in detail. Where did you spend your wealth? How will I say to Allah that in haram activities? How much did you practice on the ilm that you had? How will I say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I knew this but I didn't practice? I knew this but I didn't practice. I knew this but I didn't practice. How will I speak to Allah? When my father questions me, when my teacher questions me, when any elder person questions me who I have respect for, I am unable to answer when I am guilty. I am unable to make eye contact when I am guilty. I start sweating when I am guilty. This is Ahkamul Hakimin. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will subject me to cross the sirat. How will I cross the sirat? And when I fall in Jahannam, what will happen to me? And only Allah knows for how long I will stay in Jahannam. I will burn in the fire of Jahannam. I will be made to drink pus when I am thirsty. I will be given hot water to drink when I am thirsty. When I am hungry, I will be given fruits of Jahannam, which will be full of thorns. This is called muraqabah of death. We contemplate on the journey that lies ahead. And as a result, we turn our direction. As a result of this muraqabah, inshallah, we will turn our direction. We will stop sinning. We will begin to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is for our good. And when we do this on a weekly basis, 10 minutes, 15 minutes sitting comfortably, and we remember death for 10, 15 minutes, then during the week, whilst walking, whilst doing some work, we can get small flashbacks of this long 15 minute muraqabah. Small flashbacks, try to bring small flashbacks. So we will be remembering death excessively, inshallah, frequently. Another way of remembering death is to read books written on death. Books written on death. Books written on the journey after death. The time of death, then the grave, then the day of Qiyamah, then the reckoning, then the Sirat, Jannah, Jahannam. This is another way. A third way of remembering death is to talk about death, like we are doing, muzakara. 2, 3, 4 people sit together with concern for the hereafter, and one speaks and everybody else listens. Another way of remembering death is to visit the graveyard. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam says, "Kuntu nahaytukum an ziyaratil qubur." I used to forbid you from visiting the graveyards. I used to forbid you before that do not go to the graveyards, because there were certain beliefs and certain practices from the period of ignorance. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam forbade the Sahaba Rizwanullahi ta'ala Ali Majmain from going to the graveyard, so that those practices, the graveyard does not remind them of those practices and of those beliefs. And once everything was erased, after a few years, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Kuntu nahitukum an ziyaratil qubur." I used to forbid you from visiting the graveyards. Now, the reason why I used to forbid you does not exist anymore. So now Allah fazuruha. Now you go and visit the graveyard, because now you will benefit. Before it was harmful for you, now it is beneficial. Fazuruha. Allah, listen carefully, fazuruha. Why? Because if you visit the graveyards, you will benefit twofold. First benefit, فَإِنَّهَا تُذَكِّرُكُمُ الْمَوْتِ. Because the graveyard will remind you of death. If you go with that intention, if you go with the intention of benefiting the dead only, then I'm going to the graveyard to benefit the dead. I will go to the graveyard, recite something to the deceased and for the deceased and send its reward and return, you will not benefit. No, I am going to the graveyard so that the deceased may benefit and I may also benefit by remembering that one day I am also going to come and lie here. This is my final destination. فَإِنَّهَا تُذَكِّرُكُمُ, because it reminds you of your death. فَإِنَّهَا تُذَكِّرُكُمُ وَتُزَّهِدُكُمُ الدُّنْيَا. And it will create abstinence in your heart from worldly pleasures. If you go to the graveyard, then your inclination towards the hereafter will increase, and your inclination towards the world will decrease. So this is another way of remembering death. So let us recap. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent us into this world to prepare for the everlasting life that is to come in, and that is the hereafter. And how do we prepare? By doing good and abstaining from evil. And when we try to do good and abstain from evil, shaitan and nafs come in between. And they prevent us from doing good and they make us engage in evil. Because they find pleasure in evil. There is no pleasure for them in good. So how do we combat nafs and shaitan? By creating fear in our hearts. That if I don't do good, and if I engage in evil, this will happen to me. And how do we create this fear in our hearts? By remembering death frequently. And the person who remembers death frequently and controls his nafs and pushes away shaitan's whispers and carries out good and abstains from evil is the clever one. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Al-kayyisu man dana nafsahu wa amila lima ba'd al-maut. The clever one is he who subjugates his nafs and prepares for the life after death. And how can you subjugate your nafs? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Aksiru dhikra hadhimi laddat. Remember frequently the destroyer of pleasure. And destroyer of pleasure is al-maut, maut. So remembrance of death is an essential part in preparing for the life hereafter. Without it, a person will not become successful in preparing for the life hereafter. At the time of death, those people who will not make preparations, they will say, Rabbir ji'un, upon seeing all the punishments. At the time of death, the person is saying, Rabbir ji'un, oh Allah, return me back into the world. On the day of Qiyamah, again, the same person will say, Rabbana absarna wa sami'na farjena, upon seeing all the punishment, oh Allah, return me back into the world. And after the reckoning, when such people will be doomed to the fire of Jahannam, they will again say, وَلَوْ تَرَائِذُ وَكِفُ عَلَى النَّارِ يَا لَيْتَنَا نُرَدُّ. Only if we were returned again into the world. But no. Allah will say, finish now, it's gone. So let us make preparation for the life hereafter by beginning with the first thing, and that is remembrance of death. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa al-aqibatu lil muttaqeen. والصلاة والسلام على رسوله سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. ربنا اغفر لنا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. يا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا على طاعتك. يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك. اللهم ثبتنا على الإيمان وأمتنا على الإيمان واحشرنا يوم القيامة مع المتقين مع الإيمان. اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها
أنت وليها ومولاها. اللهم أصلح لنا ديننا الذي هو عصمة أمرنا، وأصلح لنا دنيانا التي فيها معاشنا، وأصلح لنا آخرتنا التي إليها معادنا، واجعل الحياة زيادة لنا في كل خير، واجعل الموت راحة لنا من كل شر. اللهم إنا نعوذ برضاك من سخطك، وبعفوك من عقابك، وبك منك جل وجهك، لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى، واجعل آخرتنا خيرا من الأولى. اللهم ارحمنا بترك المعاصي أبدا ما بقيتنا. اللهم إنا نسألك فعل الخيرات وترك المنكرات وحب المساكين، وأن تغفر لنا وترحمنا. اللهم نقنا من الخطايا كما ينقى الثوب الأبيض من الدنس. اللهم باعد بيننا وبين خطايانا كما بعدت بين المشرق والمغرب. هو ارحم الراحمين، هاف مرسي upon us. هو the most forgiving, forgive our sins. هو ارحم الراحمين، forgive our sins. إله العالمين، forgive our sins. Forgive the sins of our parents, our children, our families, our brothers, sisters, our relatives, our dear and near ones, and forgive the sins of the whole Ummah. O Arhamur Rahimeen, forgive our major sins, forgive our minor sins. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us the tawfiq to learn deen and practice deen. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us the tawfiq to do those things which please you, and grant us the tawfiq to completely abstain from those things that displease you. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us the tawfiq to sincerely repent in your court. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us the tawfiq to remain steadfast on our repentance. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us the tawfiq to prepare for the life hereafter before death comes. O Arhamur Rahimeen, save us from the deceit of shaitan and the deceit of our nafs. O Arhamur Rahimeen, O Arhamur Rahimeen, safeguard us from fulfilling unlawful desires. O Arhamur Rahimeen, enlighten our hearts with iman, with yaqeen. O Arhamur Rahimeen, enlighten our hearts with your love, with the love of your Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with the love of the pious. O Arhamur Rahimeen, enlighten our hearts with the yearning for Jannatul Firdaus. O Arhamur Rahimeen, enlighten our hearts with the good qualities. And O Arhamur Rahimeen, safeguard our hearts from debasing qualities. O Arhamur Rahimeen, make the journey of the hereafter easy for us. Grant us husne khatima. O Arhamur Rahimeen, save us from sue khatima. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us the tawfiq to prepare with steadfastness for the final moments of this life. O Arhamur Rahimeen, for as long as you keep us in this world, keep us steadfast on your submission. And O Arhamur Rahimeen, whenever you take us from this world, take us with iman and the kalima, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. O Arhamur Rahimeen, save us from the punishment of the grave. Make our graves gardens from the gardens of paradise. O Arhamur Rahimeen, do not make our graves ditches from the ditches of Jahannam. O Arhamur Rahimeen, O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us steadfastness at the time of questioning in the grave. O Arhamur Rahimeen, save us from the horrors of the day of Qiyamah. Grant us shield under your throne on the day of Qiyamah. O Arhamur Rahimeen, make our reckoning easy. O Arhamur Rahimeen, make crossing the Sirat easy. O Arhamur Rahimeen, save us from the fire of Jahannam. Save us from your anger. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us entry into Jannah, Jannatul Firdaus, with the Anbiya, the Siddiqeen, the Shuhada and the Salihin. O Arhamur Rahimeen, fulfill all our needs of this world and the hereafter. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us the khair of this world and the hereafter. Save us from the shar of this world and the hereafter. O Arhamur Rahimeen, O Arhamur Rahimeen, O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us the tawfiq to focus completely on the
purpose of our creation. Warhamur Rahimeen, Warhamur Rahimeen, make acquiring salvation in the hereafter, make acquiring your pleasure, make acquiring Jannatul Firdaus easy for us. Warhamur Rahimeen, without your guidance, without your tawfiq, without your support, without your aid, we will not be able to do anything. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us your support, grant us your tawfiq, grant us your aid, and make everything easy for us. O Arhamur Rahimeen, whatever good your Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has asked from you, grant it to us. And all the evil from which your beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has sought refuge, grant us refuge from it. O Arhamur Rahimeen, all the brothers and sisters who have requested us to make dua for them, or who expect us to make dua for them, who have right upon us, especially our parents, our teachers, our mashayikh, our dear and near ones, O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant them the goodness of this world and the hereafter. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. رب اغفر وارحم وانت خير الراحمين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين واخر دعوانا ان الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى اله وصحبه اجمعين برحمتك يا ارحم الراحمين امين.